Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Mark, welcome back to the show, and happy birthday and happy anniversary.
Thank you, Jim. It's 43 years since we launched VR Trader, or its predecessor, the Volume Reversal Survey, and now I guess it's also Leibovit VR Newsletters. So, and it was also launched on my birthday back in 1979, but today, yes, the 21st of July is my birthday. Thanks for mentioning it. 43 years. How many more are we going to do? That's the question, right?
Another 43 at least.
I hope.
Mark, you're kind of concerned because you like to keep an eye on the sky about the geocosmic situation. A big solar storm is brewing, or is it already underway?
It's underway now, according to spaceweather.com, which posts all this information. But they call it a minor G1 class geomagnetic storm. And it's today. It's slow moving. But, you know, we do get impacts to this. It's according to, they also call it there's a solar tsunami underway at the same time. And that's related to a sunspot on the moon. And it exploded during the early hours of today. So that produced the C5 class solar flare. It says here that the extreme ultraviolet move from the NASA's Solar Dynamics Observatory, I guess, as part of the process in detecting this. This is soon after the explosion. The U.S. Air Force reported a Type 2 solar radio burst, a natural form of radio noise produced by the shock waves, and they were the leading edge of this CME, which is, CME means coronal mass ejection. So, you know, we had some of this stuff the last couple of weeks, and shortwave radio around the planet was cut down, but, you know, one of these days we're going to get the Carrington event over again that we had in the mid-1800s, and our electronics are going to get fried, and Internet worldwide will be down, and electricity might be knocked out everywhere. Who knows? It depends how powerful it is. You know, so people think, oh, it's crazy watching this stuff. You know, this is like saying you don't look out at the weather before you go out for a picnic. You know what I mean? You always check all your variables out there, and it seems like far-fetched. But I'd rather know about it than not know about it. I think it's sort of fun. And one of these days, unfortunately, it's going to translate into some catastrophe, but we hope that doesn't happen. Of course, there's volcanic eruptions and all kinds of stuff going on around the planet, and a potential polar shift risks, and we know what's going on with the climate, the crop shortages. Some were attributed just to fertilizer, but it has to do with recent volcanic activity and so forth. So for that reason, I remain positive on agriculture. You know, I still think there's changes underway, which we had talked about on this broadcast for the last couple of years. You know, they were coming up into a crop situation, potential food shortages and so forth, and a lot of this could be related to the solar activity, and I'm sure it is, and the planet is a dynamic place, so we think everything is related to what the Federal Reserve is doing, you know, minute to minute, or what Putin is doing, or what Klaus Schwab is doing in Europe, and so forth and so on. No, there's, you know, this geocosmic stuff going on that, you know, affects the planet, our food, our potential existence. So, thank you for mentioning. It's fun. It doesn't appear like we're going to get a Carrington event today, even with the solar tsunami and this solar storm. But who knows? The day's not over.
Well, Canadians did get a taste of what would happen, for example, if the communication satellites were damaged or wiped out by a solar flare. Two Fridays ago, Rogers Telecommunications went down totally. Canada's only got three or four major telecommunication companies. They own 90% of the mobile phones and internet and so on. Well, so for about a third of Canadians, they couldn't access their bank accounts, their phones didn't work, their TVs didn't work, their computers didn't work. It was a semi-national crisis. 911 lines didn't work. So Canadians have already had a taste of what it would be like if, say, our communication satellites were wiped out by a solar flare.
It's going to happen here too, Jim, so.
And what a shock to the economy. You can't buy anything. Hospitals are trying to communicate and their computers can't, you know, tell the doctors whether the patient is allergic to something. It really is all encompassing. Your cell phone and telecommunications now is vital to us as, the horse was to our Aboriginal friends and, the early cowboys.
Yeah, during that Carrington event in the mid-1800s, as you know, we only had telegraph at that point. And, of course, it wasn't everywhere either, but that got knocked out. So, you know, this is like people with regard to our energy, you know, with where our electricity is going to come from and so forth and so on. Until there's a crisis, there's no, you know, it's complacency across the board. So when the lights go out and you're cold during winter and there's no energy, that's because they didn't build that nuclear plant that they needed to build because they were afraid of that or afraid of pollution, so they shut down the coal plant. So, when you experience one of those events, whether it's this geomagnetic stuff we're talking about or whether it's something more serious, you know, you have to experience it first and then we get action.
And I just saw a report, too, about the thousands of pieces of space debris sprayed out by the Chinese rockets. Apparently are very messy. They leave a huge trail of garbage behind them. And now they're saying the odds are 1 in 10,000 of somebody getting killed in the next 10 years by falling space debris.
I'm always looking up. I'm always thinking about it.
You're going to need more than just a tinfoil hat. You'll have to switch to the full helmet.
I wonder what kind of warning you have if that piece of debris or that meteorite is headed your way. Is it come so fast, or you'll see a streak of fire in the sky that's burning up, and you'll have a chance to step aside. That's interesting, right? Unbelievable.
Well, here in BC, we had a woman who was almost hit by a meteorite. It landed in her bed right next to her, came through the roof of the house. But that wasn't man-made. That's just natural. Mark, talking about man-made maybe disasters, the Federal Reserve is going to meet next week. Are they going to hike rates? And if they do, will they copy the Bank of Canada, which hiked rates by a full percentage point, shocking everybody?
Well, they're on a plan, so I don't suspect they're going to change their plan. You know, they're speculating 1% because of what the Canadian Central Bank did. Anything is possible, but I'm pretty convinced that, you know, they're determined to do what they want to do, and if they suddenly didn't do it, well, I don't know. For one thing, the stock market would explode if they decide not to raise rates next week. That would be a nice trading opportunity since we're in this little trading period in the summer where you can get these bounces like we've been seeing recently. But the statistics for August historically are not too good. So we're going to talk about that in a moment. But, I would bet they're going to stick with their program for now. And I'd be surprised if they deviated and didn't do anything at all, for sure. I don't think that's going to happen, and whether they're going to jump to one. And if they do more than that, you know, the stock market's fickle, you know? You have to see how it reacts to the story. And, you know, let's say the Fed did something crazy like 1.5 or 2 or something out of the blue, the market might actually like it. They might say, oh, they got it all out of the way, and now the bear cycle is over, and they've accomplished their objective, and then the next thing they're going to have to do is back off because they overdid it, so we're going to rally stocks. So, you know, it's just how it's interpreted, what actually happens at the time. And I guess the market right now is thinking that they're close to their objectives, and, you know, they're going to maybe reverse in the not-too-distant future, which probably I don't think would be until next year, but they're trying to be optimistic. But, you know, Wall Street is a optimistic place. In other words, you don't hear many bear reports coming out of Wall Street. It's always buy stocks. You don't hear about liquidating your portfolio, going to cash or going short. So they're always going to come out with the positive interpretation, you know, like the earnings reports that have been coming out in recent days. Of course, we had a real positive one from Tesla today, and the stock really took off, you know, ran big. So this is what they're hoping for, that maybe the Fed will do something that it triggers a more of a rally. But I think the Fed's doing the wrong thing too late. And you know how I feel about the Fed. I published the excerpts from The Creature from Jekyll Island, which is the famous book from a couple decades ago that basically calls, as I do, for the abolishment of the Fed. So don't have much regard for the institution, but we have to live with it as long as it's still around.
Tesla sold off 75% of its Bitcoin, they say, because of the economic downturn in China, or is it because they have lost faith in Bitcoin?
Tough call. You know, Musk obviously is going to pull the strings here on that decision, you know, if they could reduce risk. Of course, there's some optimism regarding the fact that they may not have the Twitter deal to deal with, which was depressing the stock supposedly too. That's a whole other discussion, though some people feel they're going to be forced to go through with it. Time will tell. It's going to be a long drawn out case, I think. But as far as Bitcoin, don't know what the motivation was. Maybe they just felt there was a a high risk market right now with the cryptos down. But to me, they look more like they're closer to their bottom than anything else. So I haven't given up. I think Bitcoin is going to be $85,000-$90,000 a coin, but it may take a couple years to get back up there. That's sort of where I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. So he could change his mind. There was a period of time where Musk was accepting the Bitcoin, then he stopped accepting it because it wasn't being produced in a green, quote unquote, green manner, you know, with energy friendly generators, you know, and then he came back and said, well, we'll accept it again, I believe, when it wasn't drawing a lot of, you know, wasting a lot of energy. It wasn't, I don't know if they were generating it off solar or other places that weren't hurting, you know, the energy grid, so to speak. So, you know, they could flip-flop the other way on this story, too. So, don't know what to say, but the stock was up, supposedly on earnings. Maybe it was a combination of the Bitcoin story, too.
Well, you know, one source of energy that's continually ignored around the planet is tidal power. BC, because of Vancouver Island, has great tides, and they have built a barge that can generate enough power for 5,000 homes for a fishing lodge. So there, you could just have these barges sitting in a river, and the U.S. and Canada is just crisscrossed with rivers everywhere, just lining the banks with barges, and they could be, you know, generating power quietly, efficiently, and not disturbing wildlife. You don't need permits to park a barge somewhere.
Well, now, this is like the dams, you know, using the flow of the water to generate. So these are like small dams, essentially, you're talking about.
Yeah, flow of river. Well, here in BC, they tried that. It's not as efficient as it sounds. But these barges, I mean, I live on the Fraser River. You could just line, like I said, you could make them decorative. You could actually camouflage them to look like the shore bank if you're worried about ships looking ugly. Although I find ships of any kind fascinating. Not everybody shares that fascination. So, and speaking of energy, what's going on with the crude market right now?
Well, it has, you know, a bit of a dip. It was way overdone technically, and a lot of it depends, you know, on what's going on with the dollar, which, you know, was real extended. It started to pull back a little bit, so gold started to bounce here a little bit, and I think it's more of a function of where the dollar is headed, since it's the U.S. dollar, unless we, you know, Putin and China are successful in Iran and getting, you know, all the crude oil financial exchanges away from the dollar, you know, but they're working on that pretty significantly. They're trying to get the dollar, destroy the dollar and the U.S., of course, but that's a whole other discussion. But I'm basically in the camp that crude is in a big bull market. I mean, you know, we had a big run, we had a correction, it could pull back down again, you know, here it depends on what the dollar does short term. We've got the election coming up, and the Democrats, I call them the Democrats, they're out there, you know, pulling all the strings they can to try to win back votes that they may have lost in November, and there's still a lot of time between now and November, so maybe they'll do, you know, they'll convince some foreign power to put more oil into the U.S. to bring down gasoline prices, and crude oil will back off for a while. But it's just a, I think it's more of a political short-term correction if we get a more significant pullback. But the demand for crude is going to continue, is continuing to exist. It's going to take many more years to get EVs out there and certainly the power to run them. And the whole world doesn't agree with Biden and, you know, his plans. I don't know if China agrees, but Russia, I don't think agrees at all because they sell so much crude oil. So ultimately, I see crude going to $200 to $400 a barrel. That might be a 5-6 year comment, but I think the government position of discouraging exploration, and why should anybody invest in a business that the government is against, is going to create even more shortages over time. You don't know what Iran is going to do or Saudi Arabia is going to do, and of course we don't know what the elections are going to be here in the U.S. If the Democrats stay in, then it's disastrous for the crude oil industry, which can do only one thing, is drive prices ultimately higher since there's so much demand. So, and it's a long-winded answer, you know, maybe more of a correction because of the political election phenomenon between now and the fall, but overall it's a bull market. I mean, look at Warren Buffett, you know, he added to his position in Occidental Petroleum. And that's an interesting story with Oxy, by the way, as a tangential statement, if you don't remember in your history, but Lenin was very close to the founder of Occidental Petroleum. More was it the Arm & Hammer. And he was one of the only capitalists that I think Lenin did business with, you know, during the Communist Revolution. And he would travel back and forth to Russia. He would have actually a relationship with the old Russia. So it's sort of interesting that Oxy is one of Warren Buffett's big investments. And I'm just thinking maybe because of that long-term or, you know, historical relationship, maybe Putin has a similar type of view toward the company, and that might boost Oxy's position in the world or its ability to conduct business. So I think it's an interesting statement there. There's a lot of history behind Oxy and Russia. So let's see how that plays out. But to answer your question, I would buy many big dips in crude oil.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, a bill that would decriminalize marijuana is headed for the U.S. Senate. Will it be approved? And if it was, what kind of an impact would it have on the cannabis sector?
I don't think very much, but we got a little uptick in like Canopy Growth, which is the big Canadian name, the last couple days. Backed off a little bit today, Thursday. But you're talking about a stock that's down from $60 a share to $2. And it rallied back to $3. You know, this isn't like a major breakout to me, and that's sort of the big, the big name in Canada. And, you know, looking at the indexes, I mean, they're so oversold, a rally. Well, you know, I guess you can say that was a 50% rally, you know, in Canopy Growth. I mean, you know, if you just take the percentages, but, they're certainly cheap enough. They're depressed enough. On the technical side, you know, I don't see them breaking out in any major way, but they're trying to creep higher. So I guess because they're so cheap, I have to give you a more positive response than a negative one because they're just too cheap. So anything positive that coming their way has got to help their stocks, all the stocks out there somewhere. But, you know, there's been a lot of talk about federal legalization for a long time. Most of the companies really don't make money. There were just a few American companies that pulled it out, you know, TrueLeaf and Curaleaf. And there's a few other names out there that actually made money in the last couple of years, where the other mostly Canadian names were not making money, and they were just doing, you know, like a CBD stuff, and they had stores around the U.S., and they were actually in profit. Their stock came down way down, too, but they were, relatively speaking, were much stronger and are still much stronger than the Canadian names. So who's going to benefit from the legislation, the Canadian names, U.S., both, or it doesn't make a difference? I think the U.S. names were doing well anyway because they were just better managing their business and doing what they needed to do. And Tilray and Canopy Growth and and Aurora and a lot of the Canadian companies just mismanaged their businesses and had big financial problems where some of these newer American firms seem to be able to, you know, bring money down to the bottom line. So try to look at the winning companies, the ones that are making money. Don't worry about whether the legislation goes through. Check out the American names and the Canadian names. If you don't see any improvement in their bottom line, I don't care what they make or what they produce in cannabis. They stay away from them, but look at the ones that are, you know, doing better financially.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us, and have a great and happy birthday.
Again, Jim, thank you for having me, and hopefully we can be doing this for another 43 years, right?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, take care.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. And Mark, you like to add just a little disclaimer?
Oh, sure. We should have mentioned that right up front. I appreciate you mentioning it. We also have a special offer, too. But
yeah.
I'm not a financial advisor, and I don't provide financial advice. We do produce an educational newsletter, as we've had for the last 43 years. And if you do want a copy of any of those newsletters, go to VRTrader.com. Can enter the promo code 2022 half off, and you get 50% off of any of our newsletters.
If you have any questions for Mark or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.